I'm Kirsty Keogh. I work in the communications department at the Information Commissioner's Office. You might know us as the ICO. We regulate the Data Protection Act and we uphold individuals' information rights. I'm here at our office in Wilmslow, Cheshire, with Jonathan Bamford. He's the Director of Domestic Policy at the ICO, and with Sonali Parekh, who's Head of Policy at the Federation of Small Businesses.
Hello.
Hello there.
The FSB is a non-profit making and non-party political organisation that helps small business and, well, does what it says on the tin. So we're talking about data protection and Brexit, and we know lots of small businesses aren't sure whether Brexit affects them, and if it does, they're not really sure what they need to do. So we're here to help today. We'll be talking about no deal Brexit, of course, but we'll also point you towards information that may be of use if a deal is struck. Either way, we'd still recommend businesses prepare for the worst case scenario. And in any event, you'll want to protect what you've worked so hard for. So Jonathan, can we start with the basics? How does a business know if data flows and no deal Brexit and everything that we're talking about today will have an impact on them?
Okay, well, first of all, let's be clear about what we're talking about with data flows. We're talking about the flow of personal information. And so that's information that could be a name, an address, other personal identifiers, details about individuals, anything that really relates to an identifiable individual. So that's what's covered generally. But the thing that we're particularly concerned about is where organisations based in the European Union are sending that sort of data to organisations in the UK and the effects of that. Because if we leave with a no-deal Brexit, it means that the rules that we've been relying on so far won't apply in exactly the same way. So let me give you some examples. If you're a hotelier with a hotel in Cornwall who's actually got a website and people in France are booking to stay there, you won't need to worry because that's an individual making a direct booking with you. But if that individual's actually using a travel agent in France and the travel agent's providing the details to you, details of the people who'll be occupying the rooms and that sort of information, then that will involve a flow of personal data from the European Union to the UK. So this podcast is really for you in terms of what that's all about then. I think I'd just be clear as well is that we're not talking here so much about the flow of personal data from the UK to the EU because the government's already made absolutely clear that it's recognising EU data protection law and it's not going to stop the transfer of personal information in that way. And just re-emphasise the point, we are talking about personal information, not things like livestock or goods or services. It's actually personal information.
Excellent. Thanks, Jonathan. That's really clear. But can you explain the impact of a no-deal Brexit on the kind of businesses that you've just described?
Well, if we leave the EU on the 29th of March without a deal in place, the rules on how data flows between the UK and the EU will change. Now, I've made clear that as far as data going out of the UK to the EU, you won't notice a big difference. But because at the moment the rules allow for data to circulate freely within the European Union, when we leave, those rules won't apply to us in exactly the same way. And that causes a problem for organisations in the EU sending personal data to us. So that travel agent in Paris, for the sake of argument there. What else will happen really at that point then is that you cannot just assume that data can flow automatically. You've got to look at if there's another way of that data flowing within the framework of those rules. And that's where organisations need the wake-up call, is to make sure that they look at the data flows and whether they need to take action now.
Great, thank you. And obviously the reason we're talking about this at the moment, Sonali, is because, you know, this is going to impact businesses of all shapes and sizes. But what do you think are the specific issues here?
Well, to start with, FSB is very concerned about the scenario of a no deal on the 29th of March. All our evidence suggests that smaller businesses are simply not ready for such an extreme eventuality. A survey we conducted in September of last year suggested that around half of our smaller businesses consider they'd be negatively impacted by a no-deal scenario on the 29th of March, and a further survey in December 2018 suggested that around 50% of impacted smaller businesses would need to know by the end of January 2019 at the latest if they were to face such scenario to be able to prepare, and of course that time that brain time has now passed. And a further third felt at that point that they would not be in a position to prepare per se. All of that said, we very much welcome the efforts that governments and organisations such as the ICO are making to help smaller businesses to prepare for a scenario that would have a huge impact upon many smaller businesses. And we welcome the leaving the EU six steps that the ICO have produced, which is a very clear flowchart, and in particular the online tool that can help smaller businesses, impacted smaller businesses, to generate the standard contractual clauses that they may need to provide a lawful basis on which they can continue to import data from the EEA businesses.
Okay. So we're thinking that the folk still tuned in know that a no-deal Brexit is going to affect them. We also know from the research that you've conducted, Sonali, that they've probably done little to prepare. So what should they be doing?
First thing they should do is to not panic, really. Okay. So it's what they're not doing is panicking. I think they have to work through the issues then, guided by the advice that's available on the ICO's website in terms of working through those six steps that Sonali mentioned there.
I think, first off, it's important to recognise that whether there is a deal or a no-deal scenario, the standards of personal data protection that are set out in the GDPR will continue to apply within the UK, as the government's made clear that it's going to transpose GDPR provisions into domestic legislation, which is consistent with its overall approach to the acquis. So that will provide a period of regulatory stability. Of course, though, for those smaller businesses that are importing personal data from EEA businesses, they are going to be impacted, because whilst we welcome the fact that the UK government has said that for those smaller businesses that are exporting personal data to the EEA, that can continue on pretty much the same terms as it does now, the EU have made equally clear that they will not be in a position to agree a formal adequacy decision with the UK until the UK becomes a third country. And of course, there's not going to be time to have such an agreement in place in a no-deal scenario on the 29th of March. And that effectively means that UK smaller businesses that are importing personal data from the EEA are effectively facing a personal data protection cliff edge. So until an adequacy decision can be agreed, it's really important that there is a lawful basis on which they can continue to import that personal data from the EEA. And that's why we very much encourage them to look at the ICO's tool for generating automatic standard contractual clauses, which are recognised by the EU, to provide that lawful basis that they need to continue to be able to run their businesses. It's also important to state that even where businesses, smaller businesses, are effectively operating within the UK, if they are exporting goods or services into the EEA in a way that is considered targeted, so if they are advertising in EU trade press, or they're using EU personal data to be able to target particular EU customers, then they would potentially fall within the scope of EU GDPR compliance, and that means that they may need to look into getting an EEA representative. And of course, there are much wider implications for those smaller businesses that are based in the UK and in EEA countries, or UK businesses that are clearly operating across both the UK and the EU. So it's really important to check out the ICO's guidance and to look at, say, implications for losing access to one-stop shops, who their lead regulatory authority is going to be. All of that work really does need to be done.
My goodness, that certainly sounds complicated and a little bit scary. I can understand why businesses are feeling unprepared. Shall we talk a little bit about practicalities? Both of you have mentioned standard contractual clauses. Sonali, will you talk a little bit more about those?
Well, I had a go at the tool last night.
Good.
And thought it was straightforward and easy to work through. So I very much encourage smaller businesses that are importing personal data from the EEA to check that tool out, because I think it could be a really useful and helpful way of providing that legal basis that they may need in the event of a no-deal scenario on the 29th of March. And I'd also really encourage smaller businesses to provide feedback to the ICO, to government, to organisations such as the FSB about what they're finding helpful and not helpful about the advice, the guidance, the tools that a multitude of bodies and agencies are putting out there to help them.
That's really important, isn't it? That's really going to inform
Definitely.
How you kind of move forward. And I know that you've got this Brexit hub, which is accessible.
Absolutely. FSB has produced a Brexit hub looking at a range of different scenarios, including a no deal on the 29th of March. And with as part of that hub, we also have a feedback function. So do get back to me through the hub about what's useful, what's not useful about it, so that we can continue in our mission to help small businesses to prepare for the outcome of Brexit, whatever that might be.
Great. And the ICO wants to hear as well. You can tweet us at ICO News. And if you use the hashtag DataReady and just give us your experience of the tools on the website, that would be great as well. And actually, it's probably useful to talk about some of that advice and support that people can get through the ICO, Jonathan.
That's right. I mean, it's firmly in our mind that you're all busy people out there.
Mm.
You're not primarily there to try and comply with data protection law. We want you to do that. It's really good for your business to do it. But you've got lots of things to do, and this is an added complication for you. So we're trying to make sure that we've got a ready source of information to help you talk through things. Sonali's already mentioned our six steps document there, which is a way of talking you through the process in small chunks to decide what you need to do. That's then backed up with more detailed guidance in particular areas, and Sonali mentioned about EU representatives and all sorts of complicated things like that. We've got more detail should you need to do that. So it is very much you're led through based on what you need to do. So you've got a checklist approach. There's things where you can actually assess for yourself what you need to do. And there's other information there as well which backs this up and puts it into an understandable way, such as another podcast, a blog, that sort of information. And of course, for those of you who do need to take action and put in place standard contractual clauses, we have the thing that helps there. I know when you put the word contracts and clauses in the same sentence, people immediately think that's going to cost us a lot of money and lawyers must have to be involved. We're trying to make sure that you don't have to spend a lot of money on this. And this is a way of generating those contractual clauses for yourself based on that tool that Sonali tried to use and found it reasonably understandable. And we do have designed it in a way, if you're struggling, there are little call-out boxes which provide you with extra information at that point. So it is meant to guide you through and it is meant to be helpful for you. And we are really keen on that feedback because already we've tweaked it slightly based on feedback because we want it to be the best thing it can be for the needs of everybody. And if you know, you'll go to our webpage that's there and it makes clear it's all about data protection and Brexit, and you'll find all the information there to help guide you through things. And we'll try and make sure that's kept up to date through any further twists and turns on Brexit.
And handily, it's called ICO.org.uk/Brexit. Nice and easy to remember, hopefully. So just going back to some of the technical stuff, I did just want to touch on what happens if your business transfers data to other countries that aren't in the EU. I just kind of want to cover that off a bit.
Okay. Well, obviously, we've got same sort of data protection laws as the rest of the European Union. And we are already governed by, you know, safeguards there that make sure that if we're transferring data out of this safe area, that it's done so on a basis which has the proper safeguards in place. And if that's already occurring, you should already have thought about this. And some of that can be as a result of European Commission adequacy decisions. Some of it can be as a result of you already putting standard contractual clauses in place. So it can be a variety of different measures. I think the thing that's going to be important is the UK government has said it will recognise existing EU adequacy decisions, so data could still flow to those countries. The only thing I would say is there can be some slight tweaks that you need to pay attention to there. If you go to our website, our guidance shows what the effect is with each of those adequacy decisions where you might need to do something slightly different.
Okay, that's a great little addition. Thank you very much. Okay, well, I think we're coming to the end. Shall I give you both a final word? Jonathan, do you want to go first?
Okay. Well, I think we've talked a lot about no deal at the moment. I would just say there's lots of possibilities out there in terms of what might happen in the future. One of those is potentially a deal. And I just mentioned very, very quickly about that before I summarise, because if there is a deal, the withdrawal agreement basically will put in place an arrangement where we'll enter an implementation period, or the transition period as people often know it. And during that period of time, the EU and the UK will respect each other's data protection rules. So you wouldn't have to take any special action if there is an implementation period. And during that time, the government and the EU have committed to try and come up with one of these adequacy decisions. The European Commission makes that decision, and the UK government will do everything it can to make sure that's in place. And if that's there at the end of the implementation period, data will continue to flow in the frictionless way it has so far. So I think in summary, I'd just say that even in the event of deal or no deal, you do need to think about what you need to do and prepare now. Please do not leave it too late. The tools are there, whether the FSB tools or whether the ones that the ICO are providing there. And I think that whatever happens, you need to remember that you still need to be GDPR compliant. We're bringing GDPR into UK law at the point of exit. It's still there. The UK might be leaving the European Union, but data protection is not leaving the UK.
I would reinforce the earlier point around the importance of a transition period to avoid any kind of cliff edge, whether that's in relation to trade or personal data protection. FSB's lobbied really hard for having that standstill transition period so that smaller businesses have the time that they need to prepare for whatever the eventual outcome of the Brexit process and the future relationship with the EU is.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, maybe just a final word from me then. As I say, do get in touch if you've got experiences or stories. So you can go to the Brexit Hub from the FSB website. You can tweet us at ICO News, hashtag data ready. And for additional resources on all sorts of data protection issues around Brexit and other things, please visit our website, ico.org.uk. So thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Sonali, and thanks, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.